the Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, what's in a name? A Cork company ringing in success and talking the talk about walking the walks. Later, we'll be talking about an unusual and unlikely way to appear smarter. But if you have your own ideas on achieving the same thing, please let us know. Maybe you follow the advice of Groucho Marx, who said, "A man who sounds well does well, but a man who looks well does better." You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 185715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessrte. Our favourite piece of advice will win a two-night stay for two and dinner in the beautiful 13th century Barberstown Castle in County Kildare. So please enter the competition and let us know what you think. 15 years ago, my first two guests set up a company in Cork based on paging doctors and the emergency services. The pager might be dead, but VoxPro, the company that Dan and Linda Kiley created, which now provides outsourced multilingual technical support to the likes of Google, is very much alive and kicking and has announced 350 new jobs yesterday on top of the 500 the company already employs. Dan and Linda, can we go back to the beginning? How did VoxPro come about?
I'm just looking at Linda here now and I'm smiling because we started our business just over 15 years ago over a pub with six people, and I was six amazing people and three who are still with us on our journey. But we were we bought a paging company called Pageboy Communications, and I guess a very few people listening and today will even know what a pager does or is. But what we bought, it wasn't a paging business, it was an opportunity. That's how we started off.
So when you sat around in the pub,
of which we did quite a bit.
Yeah, we only had to pop down and get one.
were both of you there, and did you decide together that you wanted to be in business together as well as in life together?
Well, at different times, I'd say, Richard. The business opportunity came up and, you know, we put our heads together, and I was working in a totally separate world, even though we had worked together originally in the Examiner.
Linda was my boss, by the way.
Is she still the boss?
She then? Absolutely is the boss, ultimately.
It only depends on if there's something wrong, Richard. So I continued working, and we raised the capital by remortgaging my home, actually, and took the Gary, and I would be a bit of a risk taker, and I was very confident. I stayed working in my own job. In fact, I did three jobs at the time, true, and took no salary, and we pumped it all back into the loan fund and
paid off our loan in 18 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that the business sort of transforms and grows out of just the paging and into a different kind of business. And things must have been going well during the boom years of 04, 05, 06. Then along comes the recession. How difficult was that for you?
Extraordinarily difficult in terms of, like, we were at a point that our business was starting to scale. And the recession brought the evaporation of credit. There's no other way to say it, but the banks were just not lending money under any circumstances. And like, we were working with some of the largest, most successful brands in the world, and yet we were still finding it difficult to secure credit because the banks had basically shut down. So Linda and I always knew that we were going to get through difficulties we had with funding. We always had a plan A, we always had a plan B, we did plan C, and we managed to get through it. But it was scary at times. It was
scary most of the time.
That's true. In
very
terms
scary.
Of like, we've had situations where we've had to borrow money from family and friends just to be able to make a very large payroll at the end of the month. So we've been through, we got through the recession and come out the other side of it. But and I think.
Very painful.
Yeah, and it's been painful for a lot of people out there. But Linda and I always knew that we would get through it, you know.
Did you ever come close during that period to either just
throwing your hat at it and walking away, or just even did you come close to the bank saying we want our money now?
Never. In terms of walking away, we would sit down of an evening and say, okay, if again plan A, plan B, plan C, and we always knew we'd find a way, and that proved to be the case. Like, we're a very determined couple. When we decide to get something done, we work really well together.
What's it like working together as a married couple, running and owning the business together? Does it help, or does it make it more stressful at times?
You know what? Linda's laughing now here, and like, Linda makes me laugh. And you know, after being married for 16 years, she makes me laugh on a daily basis. So, and that's when I think that's the key to a good relationship.
That's news to me, Richard.
No,
it must be behind your back, is it?
No. I'd say so.
No, but we actually get on really well. We have we've lots of different interests outside of work. We've got very good friends and family, and so working together is I would see it as a huge positive, because Linda's my, not only just my business partner, she's my best friend as well. So that dynamic works really well for both of us. I hope you feel the same, Linda.
Sometimes.
A diplomatic answer, Linda. During, you know, difficult periods that many people around the country have experienced during the toughest years of the recession, and many still do, if you have a bad day at work and you go home to your husband or your wife and you offload and you talk about the stresses of the day, when both of you are going through it together, does that mean you end up talking about the business and the problems and challenges of the business all day?
24/7, 365. That's the honest answer, Richard. Of course it comes home, and I suppose we spent hours in the kitchen trashing, you know, the positives and the strategies, and, you know, how we'll get through the next hurdle. It's same as everybody else, no matter what job they're doing. I think that, you know, it's been so challenging for everybody that, you know, the responsibility of finding the payroll at the end of each month was extraordinary. But we kept winging it.
With the industry you're in, are there opportunities to hire more Irish people? Or is it just impossible? It just wouldn't be practical. I mean, will you hire many of that 350 from Ireland?
Okay, Richard, without doubt, we're targeting 70% of people that we're going to hire over the next 6 months will be Irish. They'll be graduates, and they'll be in technical support and customer service jobs, well-paid jobs. And I think that's one of the things I'd like to change about the industry, is the perception out there is that, you know, our industry is low-paid transient work, but the opposite is the truth in terms of, in our case, 80% of our workforce is graduate. Entry-level salary, you're talking 24K for people coming out of college for a first-time job, and we have people actually entering at advisor level at 45K. So it's a totally different skill set that we're looking for, and the industry is going to be a huge employer for Ireland Inc. over the next 3 to 5 years. Now, we've just opened our office, our first office in Dublin, on the 10th of March. We've very ambitious plans to scale that as well. And that's because our clients in North America, they want the choice to work either. Sometimes they'll have a preference for Cork, but a lot of the time it's Dublin they think of. So we've opened the office to meet that demand.
I'm sure, Dan, that doesn't go down well in Cork, that if you, not only did you have to set up an office in Dublin, but one of the reasons was because of Dublin might be internationally better known. Is that reversible?
Well, we're doing our best. But, you know, Dublin is a fantastic city as well, and there's a great workforce, a very committed workforce up there. Irish people are just incredibly hardworking. And we have a huge talent in the customer service arena. We're not known as Ireland of 1,000 welcomes for nothing.
If you look back, and this week has been, you know, a very good week for the company announcing these 350 jobs. If you look back on the business so far, Linda, what for you has been the biggest challenge, or when were the toughest times?
I would say 2012. At the start of the recession, we started losing, you know, 30,000 a month annualized, and it happened the second month. And, you know, the scariness and the hairiness of that was unbelievable. Like, so we knew that, you know, we had to really rethink, and we remodeled and, you know, cut where we had to and built on things that we needed to. And
absolutely,
it was really, really tough. No funding. But that was really the worst. I mean, I'd like to tell you, like, that I was getting my roots done every 3 weeks, you know. Yeah. I nearly went white overnight. And, you know, if I had any gold in my fillings, I took them out.
And even aside from the challenges at work, you've had your own personal challenges as well in relation to your health.
That's right, yeah. I'd be a bit of a runt, I suppose you could say. You know, I was challenged very, very heavily with breast cancer, and I had to take a very aggressive treatment. And I'd have to say, only for, you know, my husband's tenacity and my family to drive me through it. My husband just took the cancer by the neck, as he does most projects, and devised a complete diet plan, and he was juicing things I never heard of, and kale and everything. I wasn't allowed to eat anything that I really craved. But it was a really hard time. My brother's wife was also, and there's only, I come from a family of three people, was ill with the same thing, breast cancer, as at the same time. And we lost her in the middle of all of this. So, you know, when you're staring at it like that, it was very, very tough. Very tough.
And I think, you know, and Justin, and I remember one particular day, and I was just going in the door of the Bon Secure in Cork, and Linda had just been diagnosed with breast cancer, stage two, between stage two and three. And I remember thinking on that day, that if someone said to me, give me the keys of your house, the keys of your car and the keys of your business to make this go away, we would have done it in a heartbeat. So, I mean, I guess the learning thing for me out of all of that is that, I mean, you could be successful in business, but if you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Dan, when you look back at that day now and what both of you must have gone through, your life partner, your business partner, health, you had borrowed a lot of money for the business. That must have been very, very difficult to get through.
It was just a nightmare. It's like a nightmare that you don't wake up from, because, you know, you're diagnosed, and then to watch your partner go through such aggressive treatment. And it was like for 2 years, Linda was on a very aggressive round of chemotherapy and radiation, and we still had a business to run at the same time. And I have to say that Linda's determination as a person and as a businesswoman, in terms of, like, at no stage did she ever say to me that, you know, the business didn't come first, and she drove me to keep driving the business harder while going through all of that. So
it was vital that Dan ran the business and got away from it a bit as well, because I think every family, it touches every family, and, you know, you need to get a break. You need to forget about the illness. You have to try and think outside it, you know, because it can consume your whole life. And, you know, we were employing people, and Dan was much better going out and coming back, you know, if he got a bit of a break. So,
but you drove me, Linda. You were every day. You know, I mean, you gotta get out there, and you gotta win more contracts. You gotta win more business, and that's just a testament to the strength of Linda's character, that she was, you know, remained positive throughout the whole thing.
And Linda, having been through everything that you went through, does it make a good week like this even sweeter?
Oh, very sweet, very sweet. My God, Richard, I suppose you couldn't ask for much more now than, you know, it's so rewarding.
Now, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and start hiring all these 350 people. But before that, will you celebrate over the weekend? What will you do?
Where do you think we're going now?
I better not hold you back.
We're going to certainly enjoy Saturday.
Well, Dan and Linda, thanks very much for joining me on the programme. The best of luck.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
A pleasure. A pleasure.
The Business. The Business.
On RTE Radio 1.